So this is going to be more of a fun episode because I get to spend it just talking about deep friendships. And this is one of my favorite topics to talk about in general. It's something that I have worked really hard on. I invest a lot into my friendships, and so I love talking about them because it's kind of one of the areas where I invest most of myself, my time. And it requires so much of you. And so I love talking about friendships. In this episode, I'm actually going to be focusing on how to maintain old friendships. I do have an episode where I spend about an hour, I believe, just giving you some practicals on how to initiate and build new friendships. So if you're interested and you're at that point where you got stuck making new friends, don't worry. You can go back and listen to that episode. But this one, I'm solely focusing on how to deepen or maintain your older friendships. And I think it's so important because I can wholeheartedly say that without friendship, I would not be at this point in my life. Like, these are the people that you start networking with. These are the people who are in your ear giving you advice. These are the people that you're grieving with, that you're celebrating with, that you're being influenced by, that you're getting inspired by. They have so much proximity to you. It is so important that we understand how to maintain them and keep them healthy and learning which ones we want to invest in. So I'm not going to spend so much time like going through how to weed them out. In this episode, I'm just going to assume that you have really good friendships and you're kind of just getting stuck at the point of how do I deepen them? How do we maintain closeness? Because that's specifically where I invest a lot of my time in my own relationships. This is coming off of a long weekend with one of my best friends. She was just in town for a long weekend, and man, I love her. I miss her so much. And it's almost harder every time she comes because I never want her to go back. And it's kind of like my whole life has to change again without her in it. And I have to learn how to live without her in my day-to-day life. And it's so hard because we used to live in the same city. And so I know what it feels like to have her close. But when she's here, I can't even explain to you what it feels like. Like, we call each other our soulmates. She is truly a platonic soulmate for me. Like, I would marry her in a heartbeat if I were attracted to women. She's one of those friends where she challenges me, but she is so gracious in the way that she communicates the areas where she sees gaps for me. And I'm introverted, but when I'm with her, I question that sometimes. I'm like, I must be extroverted because I have so much more energy when she's around. She is just one of those people that she just starts talking and she just draws you in. Like, you just want to listen to her. You want her to keep talking. The way that she processes, she's one of the most intelligent people. I have so much fun with her. The way that she sees things and the ways that she pieces things together, it's hilarious. Like, you'll hear her tell a story and you weren't even planning. It's so serious, but the way that she sees life is just so endearing. And I think that's what honestly drew me into her, because she was the one who actually initiated our friendship. I remember I had just graduated college and I spent the majority of my college years preparing to go straight from college undergrad into law school. And then I took the LSAT, did okay on it. And when I applied to law schools, I ended up getting waitlisted at my top law school. Was in that transition month, I already had a trip planned to go serve in Zambia. And so I got back from that trip and I was still waitlisted by this college. So I moved in with my parents. My bedroom was in their basement. And I genuinely went through a depression. Like, it was an identity crisis, depression. Like, what did I just do? I spent all of this money to go to college for 4 years. I was on track to go to law school. And it was just like, I was grieving so much of my purpose. It felt like I just was like, how am I going to make money now? Like, I'm not ready to go into the corporate professional world. I wasn't planning on it either. And now I'm going to have to apply to all these jobs. Like, I was just overwhelmed with that part of the transition from college. And so on top of that, I also had one of my best friends that we had been best friends throughout the majority of college. And she was going through a really hard time. And during that time kind of pushed me away while she was like figuring out what was going on for her. And there were some unhealthy ties in our friendship as well that we did need to figure out, but it was just a really hard period of life to go through without one of your closest friends at the time. And so when I moved, I got hired at Progressive and I moved from my parents' basement to Indy. And there's a part of me that was feeling a little bit more hopeful because at least I wasn't living under my parents' roof and depending on them for things. But I still felt lost. Like nobody, I don't know about you, but I had never heard of anyone who dreamed of working in insurance when I was a kid. And so I was like, what am I doing with my life? Why am I working an insurance job? I know nothing about insurance. And I'm moving back to Indy. And I know, like, at the time, a lot of my friends who I graduated with were either going on to grad school or they had moved to different states as well. So they were also just moving from that area. So it's not like I was moving to Indy and I knew a bunch of people in a deep way. I knew of a lot of people and I was familiar with a lot of people, but I didn't know anyone and I didn't feel like anyone knew me. And that is the point where I met who now I affectionately call my soulmate. And I don't even know what conversation she overheard, but we went to the same small group for a church group together. And that night I was just talking to different people and I'm pretty sure she overheard a conversation or a couple of them. Like, she was close friends with some of my friends and I was close friends with some of her friends, but me and her would have been mutuals. And so I was like, I didn't think anything bad of her, but I had no reason to get to know her better or pursue a friendship with her or, you know, prioritize her in any way. And so I was just getting to know the rest of the group. And there was one day she just walked up to me and she was like, so what is it going to take to become your best friend? That blunt, that pointed, she just asked the question. And I think at that point in my life, I was really scared too, because I was going through a really hard breakup of a friendship. And so I wasn't really looking for another deep friendship. And best friend, it kind of comes with a bunch of connotations that it's going to be invested and a lot of work, you know, that's what I was hearing, a lot of work. And I just wasn't there yet. And I think she was the perfect friend because she is an initiator. She's someone who, like, once she sees, like, she's very ambitious in so many areas of her life. I would say she's an ambitious person, but specifically in friendships and relationships, she, like, clings to people. Like, she really pursues you if you're her people. And she shows up. And so in a lot of ways, I felt like at that point in my life, like, I wasn't able to give in that friendship initially in the ways that I had in the past, because I was just grieving different parts of my life at that point. But I really think that in friendships, especially deep friendships, 80% of the battle is just showing up. Like, it's not having the right thing to say. It's not that you gave the right gift. It's not that you're always the one who is serving the other person. Like, sometimes people don't need anything from you outside of you just showing up. If you can get there, that does 80% of the work for the relationship for you. And I think the other 20% is what I want to talk about today. Because if you can show up, I think you've already overcome several hundred obstacles that stops other people from pursuing and maintaining deep relationships. She showed up. That was one of the key things. There were just a lot of times where I would cry. We had these moments with building the friendship where sometimes she would just come over. I lived with roommates at the time. And so she would just come over. She was friends with some of my roommates. And then she would just climb into bed because I was depressed half the time. And we would just climb into bed together and just listen to like a sad playlist that she would put together of a bunch of artists who just sung really sad music. And it honestly bonded us. Like the artist said what she couldn't come up with. And she just had no experience with somebody who lived with depression at all, but she could kind of relate to like really low moments. So she really didn't say much, but she showed up and we would just lay in bed and listen to the sad playlist and then we would cry. And I wouldn't tell her necessarily every time why I was crying. I would just start crying and she would cry out of empathy. Like, how could you not become one of her best friends? I know. But y'all can't have her. But just stuff like that built the depth of friendship. Now, from there, obviously life happens and transitions happen. And so, you know, time passes, she moves. I am building friendships with other people and deepening some of my old relationships as well. And they're getting married. And, you know, then she has a kid and these friends are having kids and these friends are now getting married. And at that point in my life, every deep relationship that I was building, pretty much save like two or three, were in a different stage of life, either because they had moved, had a kid, or both. And I think there's a period of time where I grieved again the past and what I really missed about our relationships prior to the transitions happening, not because I was upset. I wasn't ever bitter with my friends or upset at them. I just missed them, I think. And that changed things for me because it helped me understand that the emotion of missing them really propelled me to be able to get better at communicating what my needs were in relationships. And so particularly with the relationship with her, I remember just feeling like things were up in the air. Like we were clearly best friends, but I was just like, I don't know, she's moved. Like, do I call her? Does she just want me to let her be? And we kind of just retouch base like when she comes into town. And I know I'm focusing solely on this relationship. Obviously, this happens in all of my relationships where you have a define the relationship moment. And I think it's pretty key that this happens. This is what helps you transition from a familiar friendship or an acquaintance or somebody who you like really want to be close with to someone who is in a committed friendship with you. I think you have to have a define the relationship conversation because it just helps the other person and for you to check your commitment level and then kind of get on the same page about what both of your needs are in order to be able to be there for the other person in that way. And so in this particular relationship, I remember just feeling fearful, like what's going to happen now that, you know, she's moved and how often do we want to communicate? Like I'm used to talking to her all the time and, you know, she's my person. She's my favorite person. And so we had this conversation. It's funny because it's kind of like she is a great initiator. And so she pursued the friendship up front. But once I get attached, once you get me on board, it's done. It's a done deal. And she kind of grew up where once they moved, like that was it for the friendships. And I don't work that way. So I remember having a conversation with her that I'm just like, where are you at? Like, you know, like, are you trying to, because it felt like she was just getting more and more distant the closer her move got. And that obviously is something that I'm going to call you out on. And so I remember driving over to her parents' house, because that's where she was staying at the time. And I was just like, I just really need to know if, like, you see this in the long run. Like, I see you as part of my wedding. I see you as, like, if I ever have kids, like, part of my kids' life. Like, every stage of life, I see you in. So where are you? And it kind of put the ball in her court, where she was just like, we had to talk through and get to the root of what her fear was with investing on that level. Cause she was just like, let's just play it by ear. And what it is what it will be, kind of like just this abstract answer. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to be good enough for me. Cause that's not clear. So if this is what you see, then how are we going to realistically, like, come up with a game plan to make sure that we're protecting the relationship so that as life transitions, this is what we both know we want. This is the kind of friendship that we're building. And I think it's so important in all of your relationships to have a define the relationship kind of conversation if you're feeling unclear. If you're feeling like you're invested, you're committed, and you don't know where the other person's at, but that's what you want, define the relationship. Just have a conversation with the other person, lead with vulnerability, and say, this is where I'm at. This is where what I see in you. Is that what you want to? I just need to hear you say it. And I think what came up were her fears. Like, we did have to dig into, this is kind of what's happened in the past for her. And this is her mindset about relationships, and work through that. And then say, okay, like, I understand that. So what does that mean for us? Are you open to something different now? And I think you can just as easily have a conversation like that with someone who comes from the same past that might relate to my soulmate. Now, I said I wanted to talk about the 20%, and the 20%, I think, is what happens after the transition, after, you know, people move, after time passes, after they have a kid, after, you know, their work status changes. Like, no matter what transition, these are the three areas that I target to really help develop and build a deep relationship to maintain those old relationships. One of the things that I do is I try really hard to make new memories. I think that's something that happens when you're just initially building. Like, you kind of have to hang out with the person enough to start building memories with that person, because with memories come inside jokes and things you can reminisce about. And that's how you get to know each other and what each other likes and don't likes, fears, like the random, like crazy off the wall questions kind of come up during the building phase. And that's something that can easily transition out as you deepen and get more comfortable in the friendship. You forget to make new memories. One of the things that I love when I'm talking to my mom about some of her friendships, she has this one friend, and I think they do a great job of building new memories. Like, her and this friend went on a cruise. Her friend's a doctor, and so she had a plus one for this cruise, and she chose my mom to go with her. And my mom did it. My mom gets seasick. Like, even when we go out to the beach, when we went on family vacations, like, my mom loves to sit on the beach. She loves to appreciate. She loves the ocean. She loves sunsets. But when we've gone jet skiing or canoeing or whatever, my mom will just sit out, you know? So it was a big deal that she chose to go on this cruise with this friend. And the intention, just to build memories. Even this year, they're planning on walking across, they're going to fly to France, and then they're walking across Spain. And again, they're going to be building these memories. It's going to take them a month that they're just going to be together. And I love that. Like, I love that precedent. I love to mirror the way that my mom builds her relationships, because I think in a lot of ways, it's something that I've learned from her and how you invest in people and how you invest in relationships to maintain relationships. And that's something that I am very present to in my current relationships that I want to see last over 30 years, 50 years, you know, literally until death do us part. You know, I'm listed as in some of my friends' wills for their kids to take care of their kids if something ever happens to them and their siblings. And that's kind of how I build deep relationships. Like, we're building family in my mind. And so I think one of the easiest ways to just make sure that you're keeping things fresh, that you're still getting to know one another, is to figure out a way to make new memories, go to new places, hang out in different settings. Like, instead of doing the same old things, try to switch it up once in a while. Even if you're not physically in the same space as another person, one of my favorite things to do is send audio messages back and forth. I actually do this with people, with friendships that I'm building. Like, we will send audio messages back and forth throughout the week. But specifically my friendships, because now a lot of my really close old friendships are in different states. We're all across the country. And so just getting to send audio messages, one, I'm able to hear their voice, because you'd be surprised if you don't talk to somebody over a long period of time, how easy it is to forget their voice, or even how much our voices change and our inflections based on where you move and just different things like that, that just keeps people familiar to you and endeared to you. Keeps a comfortability when you just get to hear the other's voice, even if you can't see them or be with them. And so sending audio messages is one of the ways that we do that. And I also just choose to be vulnerable in the audio messages. So we don't listen to our audio messages around other people, just because we tend to send still like raw, vulnerable messaging. Like, here's what I'm working through. Here's where I'm getting stuck. One of my friends lost a grandparent, and so just going through her initial grief of that and what she was processing through and where she was getting stuck and what she was feeling angry about and all of that in an audio message, because we weren't able to physically be together during that whole time, right? Like, grief is going to happen. She's probably going to grieve for the rest of her life, this grandparent, but I get to be a part of that and walk through it with her. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I think audio messages for playful things, for building memories, but for also just being able to show up, like I said, showing up and figuring out how to get present is 80% of the battle. And one of the ways that you can be present, if you can't get on FaceTime, if you can't fly there, if you can't get together all of the time, is send audio messages back and forth or call the other person if that works better for you. My next point is to focus and prioritize the connection, not the issue. I'm not solely talking about conflict resolution here. And actually, I'm not going to talk about conflict resolution, because I'm just going to assume in your older friendships that you kind of already know what your triggers are and how you trigger one another. And you figured out a way to communicate that. If not, just let me know in the comments, shoot me a DM, and let me know that you want an episode solely on conflict resolution in your friendships. But what I am actually pointing to here is, I think it is so common when you're on the phone with a friend that you really miss and that you really wish you could be there in person with this person, is to communicate that to them. And I don't think it's a bad thing to say things like, I miss you, or, oh, I wish we could like get time. I wish I could see you. I wish we could be in the same place. I wish we lived in the same city. Like, I think those are all really common things that we say. I am just encouraging you, and what I'm pushing back on is, sometimes that doesn't always need to be said, because it can be assumed. I think sometimes when we hear it all of the time, or we start to say it all of the time, it adds undue pressure, or it might even elicit some kind of shame in yourself or even the other person. And obviously that's something that you can talk about. I am just playing the devil's advocate here and sharing another side to it that I think I noticed in my own friendships, that there were friendships based on the season of life that we were in. Specifically, I remember one friendship that was really deep, very close. She ended up going to grad school in the Pacific Northwest. And if you know anything about the cost of flights to that side of the country, it is crazy. It's like, at the time, there were no tickets pretty much under like $900. And I had just graduated college. I did not have that kind of money to pay for a flight. And so realistically, I knew that if she decided to go to grad school there, like, I really wasn't going to be able to visit her very much, if at all. And, you know, that's something that I personally grieved, and I know she grieved as well. And so a lot of times when we would get on the phone, that's what would consume the conversation. I can't believe these flights are this much. I really wish we could hang out again. Like, I wish we lived in the same city. I just miss you. I wish you could have seen this. Like, I wish you could have gone here with me. You know, like, all of this life is starting to pass, and the only things that we're talking about, and it's starting to overwhelm the conversation, is how much we wish we could be together when that was not the reality. And so this point about focusing or prioritizing the connection, it removes the focus from the issue of, you're not, realistically though, you're not going to be able to be together. You're not going to be able to be in the same place. You don't live in the same city. And so how do you figure out how to reconnect or connect with this person in a meaningful way? It's not going to be having a conversation about how much you miss each other again, or how much you wish that that could be the case, or how much you want to reminisce on what it was like, because I just think that it just creates undue conflict, even if it's not bad conflict, but like internal conflict for you and the other person in the friendship. And so having a conversation instead about what's going on in their life, about, you know, I'm sorry, or not even apologizing, like, you don't have to apologize for not being there, but like, I wish I could be there too. Tell me about it. How did that make you feel? How did your conversation go with this person? And really just figuring out questions to connect to what's going on in that friend's life that isn't focused on you not being there or not being a part of it. This last point is one that I think it took me a little bit longer to get. Like, it just didn't click, because it's so in your face, and it's, don't assume you know, ask. I know that seems very straightforward, but I think we focus a lot on making bad judgments about other people that we forget that even good judgments are still judgments of the other person. And I think, you know, sometimes in old friendships, we can kind of default into, oh, I already know them. I already know how they're processing. I already know how they're feeling. I know what that sound means, that facial expression means. Like, we can assume so much about the friend because we just have known them for so long. And I think this is something that sets apart new friendships from old friendships, is that in the newer part of friendships, you don't know what the face means. You don't know what the silence means. You don't know what the talking a lot means. You don't know what those things mean. And so you end up asking them a lot of questions. Oh, what does that mean? Oh, why do you feel that? Why do you feel sad about that? Like, what's that story? Tell me more about this. Like, you ask a lot of questions at the beginning of the friendship. And it's also something that as friendships age, it could be one of the first things that dies down. And so it's just my encouragement, keep asking questions. Even good assumptions are assumptions about the other person. Don't just assume that they're doing well. Don't just assume that you know that when this happened for their kid, that they were excited about it. Don't just assume that because they have been dating this person for 6 years and they're finally engaged, that they're not fearful too. You know, like asking questions about everything, good, bad, ugly. And one of my unspoken rules, you know how we all just have our unspoken rules in relationships, but once I make it and I've decided and you've decided, because we've defined the relationship, that this is going to be a deep friendship. Deep friendships mean there's no question or statement that's off the table. Like at any point, at any time, my friends know that they can bring up anything. They can bring up anything to the table without judgment from me. And I'm serious about that. Like if they're going through a hard time, or they're going through postpartum depression, or, you know, they're going through a really hard time in their marriage, or, you know, like it doesn't matter what it is, we're able to ask about it. And so I have friendships too, where something happened and it was involving the way that they chose to parent, and I had questions about it. And that's one of my unspoken rules in friendships. And that's one of their unspoken rules for me too, is that at any point, any one of us can ask each other questions. And so I did. And what I'm really grateful for is that kind of conversation went really well, but it all came from not just assuming, oh, just because they said it like that, or they're parenting like that, that it's good or that it's bad. Like, ask the question. It's protected a raw vulnerability in my relationships. Let me know what you think. What are some of the things that you do that helps keep your old friendships strong and healthy? Let me know in the comments. Shoot me a DM. Let's plan to talk soon.